Pennsylvania better, though. So it's a lot quieter. It is busy here, and we can't wait to get back. We've only been here 1 week, so it's good to be here. We thank you for your support and your prayers, and again, I'm Adam Zane. You know that? Rodica, would you stand so you know who you are here? Yes. I'm glad God gave me a good wife. Amen. I go all the way to Romania to get a wife. Praise the Lord. Amen. And like Pastor Mike said, we've been there 5 years, and God's blessed us. We have started one work in the village of Rakosh, which some of you have been there. And then we just recently started another Bible study about an hour away. So Dad is, it's another gypsy village. And so pray for it. We're not sure where it's going to go yet. And it's about 2 months we've been doing that. And then I was involved in printing ministry for 3 years. And about a year ago, we closed that down. It just wasn't worth it, and God shut the doors for us there. But we had the privilege of printing about 1,000 Bibles in the New Translation, the first 1,000 Bibles. And it was a real blessing. Really enjoyed that. And pray for Rodica and I. We go back. We're considering moving to another town of about 22,000 about 22,000 people. On the other side of my father, we live 1 hour away from my dad in the town of Brushov. And we live there because it's the only place we can find rent. We live in the village, but you can't rent in the village. So pray for us. We might go and move there because we can be close to her parents. Her father is very, very sick, and he could use a little bit of help. And we would like to start a new work. So we're kind of in the surveying part of that. So pray for us. God has to open doors or will not work. So please, we need a lot of prayer there. If God doesn't open that door, it will not happen for us. So pray that God will do that. We're really excited about that. Let me show you some pictures, and then we'll preach. I'll preach tonight. All right. So let me get this. Amen. I'm ready to go back already. I see the pictures and I miss the people. Amen. That's home for us now. People ask me, you know, do you want to go back? How does it feel to be back? And it's cultural shock. And well, now I'm comfortable there. I'm more comfortable there than I am here. So, and that's a good thing because that's where God wants me. Amen. So turn to the book of Jonah tonight. Book of Jonah. This last year I preached to the book of Jonah, and very, very interesting book. Probably the most fun I've had as a young preacher. It was just an absolute blast to preach through. I like preaching something I'm excited about, and the book of Jonah was very interesting. So the book of Jonah. There's a lot of different messages here. You can preach about missions, and actually this... last Sunday, I preached through chapter 3, but tonight we're not going to do that. Different message. God just giving me different messages on missions through this book, and it's interesting. So Jonah chapter 1. Now, most of us, of course, know the story of Jonah, so it's not anything new. God called him and to go to the city of Nineveh to preach. And Nineveh, of course, was Assyrians, and up there, and that was their enemies. And later, they would come to... fight with the Jews, but Jonah didn't want to go. He was comfortable where he was, but when God told him to go to his enemies, he said, no, I'm not going. So let's look through chapter 1, a few points here. Jonah chapter 1, let's read the first 10 verses. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it, to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Verse 5, then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea, to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said to him, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not. And he said, every one to his fellow, come, and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So he cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us? What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou? What is thy country, and of what people art thou? Verse 9, and he said unto them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. All right, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for tonight. Thank you, Lord, we can open your word one more time, Lord, and learn something. And Lord, I pray you'll help me to only say what you'd have me to say tonight, Lord, and fill me with your Holy Spirit, Lord, and give me power. And help us, Lord, teach us something tonight. Show us, Lord, that there's a need out there, a need to tell people about your gospel. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. All right. Now, in verse 1, God calls Jonah. And this message, what I like to do in chapter 1 is show you an opportunity that Jonah missed. Okay, we know the story how eventually God disciplines him in chapter 2. In chapter 3, Jonah obeys God, okay? He doesn't like it, but he does obey God, and he goes and he preaches. But in chapter 1, he runs from God. So first, in chapter 1, verse 2, we have a command. Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. So God tells Jonah to go. All right, to rise and go. Now, God wants me in Romania. He said, Adam, go to Romania. Now, I don't know where God wants you to go. He may want you to stay right here. That's fine. But I do know this. God wants all of us to preach his gospel. All of us. Not just Pastor Veach. Not just me. Not just Pastor Dean. All of us. Okay? Ladies, you too. Not up here, of course. But when you open that Bible, when your Bible to your neighbor, you're preaching to that person there. God's called us all to preach the gospel. Amen? And, now, of course, this is the Old Testament. We all know the doctrinal implications here. But he told Jonah to get up and to go. And Jonah, we're going to see in a minute that he disobeyed God. But first, a couple of verses. Now, Jesus Christ was our example. Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. Jesus had a purpose when he came here on earth. And he went and preached from town to town, village to village, all right, to people who would hear, and some people who would not hear. So, all right, Mark chapter 1 and verse 38, Mark 1, 38. And he said unto them, Let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also, for therefore came I forth. That's our example. Jesus Christ came to preach. And in Mark 16:15, at the end of the book, Mark 16:15, now Jonah wouldn't go. We're going to see that in a minute. But God wants all of us to go and tell your neighbor, your friend, your coworker about Jesus Christ. Amen? Mark 16:15. And he said to them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And let's go to Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13. It's different preaching without an interpreter. I look to my right, my left, and go, where do you go? It's kind of nice, though. I don't have to stop, you know. I can just. It's interesting. So if I just pause and I go, I'm just looking for my interpreter. Amen. I did preach, I think, 3 or 4 times without an interpreter. Just recently, I did my Sunday school lesson twice without anybody. And that's a challenge. Pray for me that I can continue doing that. I have to write everything out, everything, and then basically just read my notes exactly, because memorizing it is, I'm not there yet. Amen. Okay, so Hebrews 13 and verse 12. Hebrews 13 and verse 12. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Verse 13. Let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. God wants us to go outside this church. They're not coming here. They're not going to come here, at least in most places in the world. He wants us to go out to the world and preach the gospel. Amen. Now, let's see here. Let's go one more verse. Psalm 71. Psalm 71. This is not new. It's just kind of introduction, first point. We all know, I mean, you've heard it many, many times, but it's good to hear it again. It's good to be reminded. I need to be reminded every day. And I'm a missionary, okay? I mean, sometimes we forget. We get busy, get in the train, whatever. I know how it is. I've been in the city twice. And you just forget that that's why we're here, is to tell people the gospel. Give it to them. Psalm 71. Psalm 71 and verse 16. Psalm 71, 16. I will go in the strength of the Lord. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. We need to tell people about Jesus Christ. Tell them what he's done for you. That's all you got to do. Tell them what God has done for you. Give them your testimony. That's what the disciples did. And that's what you need to do. All right, back in the book of Jonah. Let's see what Jonah does here. God tells him to go. And let's see what Jonah's response was. Jonah chapter 1, verse 3. But Jonah rose up to flee into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa and had found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. So Jonah, instead of obeying God, he disobeys God and he flees from the presence of God. There's a whole different study in here. I'm not here to teach the book, but very interesting. But he flees from God and disobeys him. Now, Jonah is interesting. If we're not going to turn here, but if you want to know more about Jonah, there's not many passages that talk about Jonah, but in 2 Kings 14:25, you'll find a passage about Jonah. And he was a prophet about 75 years after Elisha. And I guess he was preaching in his own area to the 10 northern tribes there. So when God told him to go somewhere else, he said, oh, that's not comfortable. No, I can't do that, God. And he did not go. He went the other way. And he fled away from God. He disobeys God. When God told him to go to his enemies, he said, no, I'm not going to do that. And it's better to obey God. Be turning to turn to 1 Samuel 15. 1 Samuel 15. We need to obey God. Jonah got into a lot of trouble by disobeying God. And we're going to see here in a little, he missed out on a great opportunity because he disobeyed God. And you don't want that to happen. You don't want that to happen. Because of your disobedience, there can be great consequences. And you can miss out on a lot of opportunities to serve God. All right? In 1 Samuel 15, let's look at verse 19. 1 Samuel 15, verse 19. Wherefore, then, didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, talking about Saul, but didst fly upon the spoil, and dididst evil in sight of the Lord? And verse 20, and Saul said unto Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and I have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and I have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and utterly destroyed the Amalekites. Now, we'll see what happens here. That's not what he did. He lied. He didn't obey God. And let's see here, verse 22. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. Obeying God is very, very important. By disobeying God, you can ruin your life real fast, very fast. It just takes one disobedience, and it's over. Now, I'm not saying God can't use you again. God used Jonah later. That's another message. God used him in chapter 3, even though he disobeyed. But disobeying God can have great consequences. And he fled from God. He thought, I can get away from God. God, I'll get away from it. You know, in Psalms 139, it says, whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. You're not going to get away from God. So don't try it, okay? It's not going to work. Young people, it's not going to work. You're not going to get away from God. Now, you might get away from him for 3 or 4 years, but no, you're not going to get away from him. All right, now, back in Jonah. Let's continue reading. And let's see the opportunity that Jonah missed because he disobeyed God. All right, verse 4. Jonah chapter 1, verse 4. This is very interesting. Jonah chapter 1, verse 4. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Verse 5. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man to his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But look at here. But Jonah was gone down to the side of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So here, these men were in trouble. And we're going to look at what, specifically, three things they were doing here. They were in a lot of trouble. And where was Jonah? He's a preacher now. Remember, he's a preacher, okay? Supposed to be a representative of the God of Israel. And he's in the bottom of the boat, sleeping. And these men are up here dealing with a very, very bad storm, okay? And Jonah's not doing anything. He's missing out. Let's see what these men, what the trouble they were going in. And Jonah could have helped these men. And we'll look at this in a minute. Jonah could have been a real help and a good witness for his God. But because he was disobedient, he was sleeping. I hope that's not you tonight. I hope we're not sleeping and not doing anything. All right, the first thing, the three things these men were faced with. Number one, they were afraid. This storm would make them afraid. There are people out there who are afraid. Right now they're afraid of the economy, but, you know, terrorists, economy, whatever. They're afraid out there. They really, really are. They may not look like it, but inside they're thinking, I might lose my retirement, my wife's got cancer, whatever. They're scared. All right? And these men were afraid. It says, then the mariners were afraid because of this storm. Now, God wants us to be a blessing, as a Christian, God wants us to be a blessing to people. Not a curse, okay? Not the other way around. And why are these men in this storm? Because of Jonah. Because of Jonah's disobedience, these men were suffering. And we're going to lose a lot if you read the whole chapter. Everything on the ship, they're going to throw out. Because of Jonah, these men were afraid and they were in trouble. The Bible says in Romans 14:7, for none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. And that's what young people, you don't realize. You don't understand that. You think, oh, I can do what I want. It's not going to affect anybody. That is not true. What you do will affect someone. And what Jonah did here affected these men. They lost everything. Remember, in this time, what they were carrying that cargo was their livelihood. They would invest everything they had in that ship, and they were going to lose it all. Everything but their life and possibly the ship itself. That's it. So here we see they were afraid. Something else we'll see. Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man to his God. They were just praying their God, whatever God they were. Please help us, save us. They were searching for help, these men. Hey, they needed help. They needed help real, real bad. And they were searching, crying out. So every man had a different God, just crying to your God. And you know, that's what the world does. They're out there crying. They don't know it. They just know they need help. They know they're in trouble. And so they start crying to their God. Well, we know their God is dead. Can't help them out. I mean, it's just man of wood or stone or the idol. But they don't know that. They think, you know, some of you were Catholic before. I know the Orthodox in Romania, they're nice people. They really think they're doing the right thing. They trust that priest or whatever they're trusting in. But they are searching. These men were crying unto their God. Every man's religious. Okay? Most men. Nowadays, not so much. But we're all, according to Romans chapter 1, man knows there's a God. And they're out there searching for light, some men. And these men were searching, and Jonah is asleep. He could have answered a lot of their questions. But he wasn't available. He wasn't there. He wasn't there to help them. And when you're out there and someone's searching, are you going to be available to answer questions? Amen? Are you going to be available? Or are you going to be sleeping like Jonah? You don't want to be there. That's not good. Now, later on, these men, in the end of the chapter, they're going to give sacrifices to God. And it couldn't have been a physical sacrifice because they threw everything over the boat. So it must have been a spiritual sacrifice, okay? And they were on ships. No physical animals to sacrifice. So later, they were going to trust in God, but not through Jonah. They're going to trust it because of what God did. Amen? But these men were searching. Let's see here. Interesting. And some men in the Bible, they worship their nets in Habakkuk chapter 1. All right? Some men worship the fire. You'll see that in Isaiah 44. All right? And some men worship the work of their hands, an idol. Exodus 32, the golden calf, you know, that Aaron made. All men have a god of some kind. They're worshiping something. And these men all had gods. And they were searching for God, searching for God, but Jonah wasn't there. Now, these men, when they were in trouble, they weren't atheists. It's interesting, when someone goes off in a car, an accident, they start calling out to God, don't they? Isn't that interesting? With a plane, you're in an airplane, you know? And I'm not afraid of flying. It doesn't bother me, you know? But some people are really, really afraid, you know? So the plane starts moving. Oh, God. And they don't, most of the time, they don't care less about God. But when man's in trouble, they start crying to God. Remember that. These men were in trouble, and where was Jonah? The greatest trial in their life, probably, tribulation, and Jonah was not here. And in verse 5, it says, "Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man to his God and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them." The third thing these men did, they started to work. So they were afraid, like most sinners out there. Men thought, well, we'll get religious. We'll try to call on God. Maybe our God can help us. And then these men started to work, just like most people. They think, well, if I give money, if I go to church, you know, if I pray to God a little bit, they started working. And these men were working, just like most people out there. They're working for their salvation, trying to. And did it help these men here? No. It didn't help them at all. It made the ship lighter, made it float a little better. But the storm didn't stop, did it? And, you know, people think, well, if I do more good works, if I go to church, all these problems, I'll have peace in my heart. And they don't get any peace. No peace comes. All the sacrifices they do in life, there's no peace. All right? These men, they had no answer from their gods. None came. They were working for their salvation. All right? And their valuable cargo, let's look in verse... Let's see here. Let me find the verse I want. They cast out all the stuff in the ship. Everything out of the ship. And it didn't mean anything. All their cargo, everything they had, didn't mean anything to them. It's interesting. Satan said in Job chapter 2, verse 4, "Skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath, will he give for his life." When someone is in trouble, look at everything, their life. And that's what these men did. They gave everything, threw everything out. And it didn't matter. Now, let's look at Jonah. We saw the men. Now, let's look at Jonah real quick. We'll be done in a few minutes. Jonah was in the bottom of the boat sleeping. All right? It says in verse 5, at the end of it, the last phrase there, "But Jonah was gone down to the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep." So Jonah's down there snoring, right? He's getting a good sleep. I don't know how he could sleep in the storm. I have no idea. But I would woke me up. But he's sitting there sleeping, and these men were in trouble. Jonah had no idea of a storm going out there. Now, that's a good picture of life. There's a storm out there. And a lot of people, a lot of Christians, I don't know about you. I know this church very well. You are all very good witnesses, and better than most churches. But a lot of churches, okay, probably some of us in here, myself included, we have no idea what's going on out there. Our life's perfect. You know, we got money, we have a home, we have peace in our heart, and we have forgotten there's a storm outside this building right here. People are really hurting, and we don't care anymore. Just like Jonah. Jonah didn't care. He's sleeping, comfortable. He had no idea there was a storm. He's supposed to be a preacher. Supposed to be a preacher. And all of us are supposed to be preaching the gospel, out there telling someone. Are we sleeping? Are we sleeping and have no idea what's going on out there? Romania is no different than here, really. They're people. Poor, rich. People are the same all over the world, pretty much. And it's easy just to get comfortable, have your weekly services, go on, you know, just go on life and forget. People are hurting out there, and there's a storm out there, and you can go to sleep real fast. It doesn't take long, and you just get comfortable with the way things are. And you don't even realize you fled from the presence of God. Jonah was a preacher that had fled from God, and he was not in the will of God. They needed help, But Jonah, he was not in a position to help them because his heart wasn't right. He was not in a position to help them at all. That's sad. You don't want to get your life where you can't help someone because your heart's so hard and you're so away from God and you're so much in sin. When someone does come by and knocks on your door or talks to you at work and they're hurting, you don't even notice anymore because you're so far away from God. And it happens just like that. I'm telling you, it happens. Your heart can get so cold so fast. It's discouraging. With me too. Get comfortable, do your stuff. And Jonah missed an opportunity because his heart was hard. He's bitter against God. All because he wouldn't go. It wasn't because Jonah was afraid to go to Nineveh. He didn't want to preach to his enemies. In Ephesians 5:14. I'll turn there. Ephesians 5:14. I want to see this. Ephesians 5:14. Jonah was a preacher that was out of the will of God and had forgotten there's a storm raging outside. He forgot there's a battle out there to be won for souls. Satan is fighting for them. Are you fighting for them? Satan wants those souls. He wants to send them to hell. We should be out there fighting so we can prevent them from going to hell and go to heaven. Amen? All right, Ephesians 5:14. Wherefore he saith, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Romans 13:11. Let's turn there. Romans 13:11. These men were brought to the end of their life. They had no hope. Just like a lot of people out here, and Jonah couldn't help them. Jonah missed, this is a great opportunity, and Jonah missed it because he was asleep, and he didn't care. Romans 13:11, and that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. We don't have much time left. It's time to wake up, do something for God. Either here, or go to a mission field, do what you can. Amen? Pray for somebody, whatever you can do. I was talking to one of the ladies here. She has a hard time walking. So she's out here doing tracks for your Jerusalem. But she's doing something. That's good. You can all do something. I remember Mrs. Fran here. She prayed and prayed and prayed. And I don't know how many blessings I received because of her prayers. I don't know. I'll never know until I get to heaven. But you know what? Every one of us can do something. And it's all important. Amen. And short, time is short. And let's go to 1 Peter. 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. Jonah was not in a position to do this. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to everyone that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Jonah was not in a position to do that because he was away from God. I hope that's not you tonight. You need to be ready to give man an answer. All right? Now, these men, they finally, at the end of the chapter, realize there's a God. God's calm the sea. And they sacrifice to God. But let's look at, let's see here, chapter 3 real quick. Even though Jonah disobeyed God, in chapter 3 God still used him. That's a different message. We're not going to go there. If I'm back again, I'll preach that one. But God, or Jonah obeyed God. God used him. Gave him a second chance. Praise the Lord. Amen. Even though you failed God, God still used you. But God, even though Jonah missed some opportunities, God's still faithful. Isn't that amazing? Even when we fail God, God still saves souls. The gospel still goes around the world. Amen? So don't think you're special. Hey, God can use amazing things. Amen? I'm not special. I'm just a normal guy. Okay? Went to Romania. All right? If God's not, He'll get somebody else. I've seen it. If I disobey God, God will find somebody else. Amen? Let's see here. Jonah chapter 3 and verse 10. Here Jonah did preach, and verse 10, and God saw their works, This is talking about the Ninevites. Then they turned from their evil way, and God repented of evil he said he would do unto them, and he did it not. And let's look at chapter 4 and verse 10 and 11. Jonah's mad. He's not happy. Then said the and Jonah chapter 4, verse 10. Then said the Lord, thou hast had pity on the gourd, for which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle? God was merciful to these people, even though Jonah didn't care throughout this whole book. Jonah didn't want to go there. He was mad. And in chapter 4, verse 1, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. When he saw these people repent, and then repent, he was angry, mad. Jonah could have taught these people more about God. That's another opportunity Jonah missed because he didn't care. But God, thank God, he's still faithful. God's faithful. Amen? That's a blessing. In Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 9, it says that God's faithful. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 9. While you're turning there, 1 Corinthians 1, 9, it says, God is faithful, by whom you are called into the fellowship of the Son, Christ Jesus. Thank God he's faithful. Deuteronomy 7, verse 9. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him, and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. Thank God. Even though Jonah wasn't faithful, okay, not always. He did do what God wanted, but in the end, he really wasn't. God is still faithful. Amen? And in 2 Peter 3:9, we all know this verse, but it's a good one. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, for not willing any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So I want to ask you tonight, are you sleeping? Are you going to miss out on opportunities like Jonah? These men were calling on their God, wanted some answers, and Jonah did not and could not give it to him because his heart was hard, cold. He was away from God. Is that you? I hope it's not. Maybe you're lukewarm. That's bad too. All right? And Jonah missed opportunities. I don't want you to go through life and miss opportunities. You might have 5 years of your life where you could have been a good example. You could have been a good witness. And you lose it. You don't want to do that. Jonah missed opportunities. One more verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. God wants us to continually preach or faithfully preach the gospel. It's hard. I know it is. Day after day, year after year. I appreciate pastors like Pastor Veach who can just do it year after year after year after year. God wants us to be faithful. You're not going to see results maybe right away. I mean, in Romania, I'll be honest with you, souls aren't just flocking to Christ. I'm sorry. It's just the truth. You have to be faithful. It takes years to build a work anywhere in the world now. I'm hearing now it's hard even in Mexico now. I don't know. That's just what I'm hearing. But you have to be faithful and continue serving God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2. The Bible says, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Now, a steward is something that someone gives them something in their trust. Okay? God has given us his word. Okay? All right? And he's given us a message, the gospel. God's entrusted that to us. Are we being a good steward of that? Are we telling people about Christ? Are we using that? A lot of us aren't. A lot of us are not doing that. God just wants us to be faithful. Amen? Now, Jonah missed a lot of opportunities. I don't want that to be our life. Amen? All right, let's pray and Pastor Mike can come. Father, we thank you for today. Thank you, Lord, we can open your word and learn something, Father, hopefully, and help us to be a better witness this week.